Happy Tuesday, everybody, and welcome to a new installment of the Mr. B Clothing podcast here at CycloneFanatic.com. Mr. B Clothing, as always, is located at 1995 Northwest 86th Street in Clive for your high quality men's clothing needs. I'm going down to see Timmy Sitzman here later on today. A little 4:30 appointment with Mr. Sitzman. Adam Gray, you're looking awfully dapper today. You have like you wearing like suit pants with a nice sweater.
Yeah, you know, it's cold. Why? Well, it's cold, so that's why the sweater is on today to try to.
Yeah, you got to combat the wind chill.
Yeah, it's brutal out there right now. But you know, every now and then I like to look good. You know, dress to impress, I guess.
That's
you
nice.
Look good too for you.
Thanks. I mean, gotta go. I gotta go see Mr. B.
I haven't seen your shirt tucked in.
My wife's making me go to this. So it's kind of a busy day. I gotta go to this church thing tonight. So it's kind of like we're slammed. I got the evening is full of, you know, areas where I need to be dressed to impress.
Yeah. Why don't you shave that stuff off your face too? Then
thou shalt not shave.
Why not?
I shaved 2 weeks ago, and all the reaction was horrible.
Reaction?
Because I hadn't shaved like down to the face shave.
Yeah.
In like at least a year, probably longer than that. And, you know, I kind of thought, because I was doing a pretty good beard at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of thought, well, you know, this would be a nice change. Let's change it up a little bit. And my wife hated it. She just despised it. Yeah.
You probably started getting carded again when you ordered a drink.
Yeah. And I had to go to work that night. Iowa State had a game. I think it was the Kansas game, actually.
Yeah.
And, you know, all of the colleagues were like basically laughing at me. Because apparently I look like I'm 15 if I shave.
Well, yeah, I mean, with facial hair, you look like you're 22. So,
well, you know, so no, I'm done shaving. That's a thing of the past. It'll probably be another calendar year before you see me shave this thing.
Okay.
It's well, I'll trim it up.
Yeah, you got to keep it looking at least somewhat classy.
Contain it a little bit, but yeah. All right, lots to talk about. I want to talk Oklahoma State from last night, Big Monday. Twitter questions we have to get to. Big game watch coming up tomorrow night at the Keg Stand. Now let's start with that. Iowa State, Kansas. It's an 8 o'clock tip. I believe Ryan has specials.
Yeah, after 7 o'clock, he's got half off drinks and half off wings. So, you know, anybody's...
Like any drink?
I'm looking at the text he sent me. Half price drinks and half price wings starting at 7 p.m. And then he's got a live band karaoke after the game. So, I mean, after Iowa State wins, let's stick around. Let's sing a little Sweet Caroline.
Be nuts. I wish I could join
you. It's a place to be. I'm looking forward to it. I really am.
Okay. Keg Stand. That's tomorrow night. I'll actually be in Lawrence.
I'm jealous.
Covering the game. That'll be interesting. We'll get more into the game here momentarily. Bus trip to Kansas State. Let's get the housekeeping out of the way.
Yeah.
That was a hell of a game. On Saturday, the rubber match, well, it's not really a rubber match,
no.
But the rematch should be very interesting the first weekend of March.
Yeah, it should. I think I don't really know what to make of Kansas State. I really don't. Even after watching that, that's a team that plays really hard. I don't know.
I don't think they're very skilled or even that good, but I think that they're just so gritty.
Yeah.
That it keeps them in games.
Can we give kudos to Bruce Weber?
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Because he
Foster kid, where the hell did he come from?
You know who he reminds me of? Where he just kind of came out of nowhere. Remember Alec Burks from Colorado? Where you
that's my boy, Tad Boyle.
You really hadn't heard of him, and all of a sudden as a freshman, he's just kind of just doing his thing.
Yeah, no, I'll give a hand pound to Bruce Weber.
Yeah, he's done a good job. But no, March 1st, bus trip, good time. We're going down. We're making a night of it, Chris. We got the hotel.
Hotel in Aggieville.
In Aggieville. Two blocks from all the bars right there. You know, what the bus round trip down there and back, you get a ticket and you get the hotel all included in the price. And the price is determined by how many people you have staying in your room. So, you know, if you're in college, you get a couple buddies together, go there.
It's not that expensive if you get four people. If you're going by yourself, it's a little pricey.
It's a little pricey, but you know what? You still save money because if you drive down there and back by yourself, get a ticket and get a hotel, it's still more expensive than it would be if you came with us.
Well, plus now you don't have to worry about driving, parking, any of that. You can have beers on the way down. You can watch TV, surfcyclonefanatic.com. It's very convenient.
Tweet about how awesome the trip is, and yeah, we'll have a good time.
We've never really had bad trips on our end. Now, the Liberty Bowl when all the buses kept breaking down, but we couldn't really control that.
No, we couldn't.
And we've gone away from that company.
Yes, this one's a new charter company.
Sounds like a heck of a time. Now, you guys went down to Kansas State for football, too, right?
Yeah, we don't want to talk about that, though.
Yeah, the Clones got... That was the game that Rhodes, like, freaked out on the media after. He didn't really freak out, but he basically said, don't ask any stupid questions. Remember that?
Yeah, that was that game... I mean, the Baylor game was bad.
No, I thought the Kansas State game was the rock bottom as far as the offense goes.
Yeah.
Because the Baylor game, I mean, at that point in time... Baylor would have done that to a lot of bad teams, and Iowa State was a bad team. But the Kansas State game, I mean, for crying out loud.
We couldn't do anything.
Oh, it was just awful.
Yeah. And, you know, it was probably seemed worse since we were down there. I couldn't flip the station. I couldn't change it. I was just stuck there watching that.
Try sitting in the radio network.
Pathetic display of football. But, you know, the trip itself was great. I mean, we got down there. It was great weather. Kansas State fans were fun, and anybody that was on the bus trip, I think, would tell you they had a good time.
All right, so you got to get signed up by February 15th. We're only taking one bus, so if you're going to do this, it's time to blank or get off the pot, if you know what I mean. You're listening to the Mr. B Clothing Podcast.
Just drop the S-bomb, Chris.
No, thou shall not. I've used the word thou twice now because of this church thing I got to go to tonight, but nonetheless. Oklahoma State last night, did you watch it?
I watched maybe 5 minutes.
And then why?
I had Downton Abbey. You know, it was on Sunday night. We didn't get to watch it, so my wife...
What is the show? Honestly, I've never even heard of it.
You're not allowed to give me crap. You watch Bachelor.
Bachelor's a great show.
You watch worse shows
than I
do.
But I DVR The Bachelor, and yeah. I watch the big Monday game, and then the wife and I watch The Bachelor afterwards.
Yeah.
And then we watch Monday Night Raw. So, you know, Monday night, it could be 2 a.m. before I hit the sack.
Does Ashley watch Monday Night Raw with you?
No. She goes. Okay. I don't watch... Monday Night Raw is something that I enjoy it, but I'm not like... real into it anymore. Like
you shouldn't
I used to
be. You're so 29.
Like, I'll watch like it's a 3 hour show. I usually end up watching about 30 minutes of it.
Yeah.
Like just fast forward. So it piques my interest. I'll flip it on. But yeah, nonetheless, Downtown Abbey.
Downton Abbey.
Down Abbey.
Downton Abbey.
Who's Abbey?
It's the place where they live. I'm not going to get into this with you, William.
No, but what is it? I'm seriously.
It's a good show on PBS. Check it.
It's on PBS.
Yeah, we started watching it. This is actually really embarrassing. I shouldn't even tell this story.
So if it was up to Mitt Romney, this show would not exist anymore.
Yeah, I make a joke about Obama taking too many vacations, but you could take a pot shot at Mitt Romney.
That's not a pot shot. He's the one who said he was going to kill Big Bird, not me. Okay, so it's a hotel?
No, let's talk sports. I don't want to talk Downton Abbey. I don't want to do it.
It just sounds really ridiculous.
It's not. It's a good show.
So I wrote this at Monday Musings yesterday. I'm going to pat myself on the back. But I saw Oklahoma winning that game from a mile away.
Yeah.
And I think the line was like 4.5. That's a put your mortgage on it type game. If you've watched Oklahoma State over the last 2 weeks, which, you know, I don't watch it as closely as some people, but I try and watch a piece of every single Big 12 basketball game that I can, at least. I set them all on the DVD. In Oklahoma State, to me, I think you can make an argument in the Big 12, other than Baylor and TCU. TCU's irrelevant, so we're throwing them out.
Yeah.
Other than Baylor and Oklahoma State, every team in the league has excelled expectations.
So far in conference play?
In general. I'm saying overall. Because Oklahoma State was ranked 8th going into that game. But I think that's about where a lot of people saw them. I don't think that they have excelled expectations.
So you think Kansas has excelled expectations?
Yes. Starting 6-0 or whatever they are in the Big 12, absolutely.
From the beginning of the season, though, they still lost 4. They lost to San Diego State at home.
Come on. You really didn't see that young of a team struggling in the non-conference. They had the toughest non-conference schedule in college basketball. Well, of course they were going to lose some games.
I saw them struggling getting off to a slow start. I don't know if you could say they exceeded expectations when their record is right about where I would guess most people thought it would be.
Their start to the schedule in the Big 12 is harder than anybody's. Their first 6 games. They probably had the hardest start to their conference schedule than any other program in the country. Nobody. You saw them winning in Ames? You saw them winning at Oklahoma? I mean, Oklahoma's an iffy one. I don't think most people saw them winning at Ames.
I didn't see them winning at Ames, no.
I did not think Kansas would be ranked 6th in the country at this point. Now, I thought they would be here at the end of the season.
Yeah.
But they have clearly exceeded my expectations up until now.
I guess your expectations of mine are a little different, because this is right around where I thought they'd be at the beginning of the year, especially after we saw them play that first game and just the way they played against Duke.
But those first week games are really hard to...
It depends on where your expectations... But going back to your original point, Oklahoma State, you're right, has not exceeded expectations. And how much of that is Travis Ford not being a great coach, or is the injuries really starting to wear them down?
I would say it has more to do with the injuries and whatnot. I mean, I don't think Travis Ford's a great coach, but I think we all knew that coming into the season.
Yeah.
You know?
And yet you still picked Oklahoma State to beat
Kansas. Yeah. No,
Kansas.
I did. Yeah. I did because of my man crush on Marcus Smart. But... You know, I'm a man, I can admit when I'm wrong, and I've been pretty vocal about this the last couple of weeks. Nobody's beaten Kansas.
You've had a rough go at your predictions lately. I mean, TCU in football, Oklahoma State in basketball.
Hey, I'm fine with it.
I'm just, you know.
Hey, listen, the TCU thing, I think any educated person can look at it and make a point to, well, made sense why you would say that. And then you lose like 6 starters or whatever it was before the first kick. I think, I don't feel too bad about that one. I'll never pick them again. But you get my point.
Yeah.
Oklahoma State, I mean, hell, Adam, they were picked to tie Kansas by the coaches. You're going to kill me for that?
No, I'm not going to kill. Well, I'm going to kill.
I'm going to play the law of averages.
I'm going to kill the coaches, too, who picked Oklahoma State. Until Kansas gets knocked off the throne, you cannot pick them. You just can't. Bill Self just works his magic.
I guess I didn't know. I knew about Wiggins. I knew about Embiid. The Deer Tharp was a wild card for me. But here's the thing now. When I watch them play, he's the perfect guy to run that team. Just a veteran. I don't think Nadir Tharp has much of an ego at all. And now he's proving that he can hit some shots. And you throw Seldon into the mix.
Yep.
I mean, you've got...
Perry Ellis.
You've got 4 first-round draft picks if they go pro this year.
I don't think Perry Ellis would go first round.
I absolutely don't. Have you read the projections?
I mean,
everybody's saying he's damn near a lottery pick right now.
Nah, I wouldn't take him. That guy wouldn't
do anything. Well, I don't care if you would take him. I'm just saying, would he get drafted in the first round? Everybody says that he would.
Well, it depends who comes out. But I'm not buying it. But back to Nadir Tharp.
Damn, if you would draft him or not.
Okay, he's that perfect just college basketball player.
He's the perfect glue guy for Kansas over a 4-year run.
Yeah,
he would be an absolute monster if he would stay. But I just, you know, at some point, doesn't Perry Ellis go, "Hey, I want to be the man at Kansas"? I mean, at some point, or do you leave? Because he's not going to be. They're going to keep bringing in these blue chips, and he's going to be like the third option. It's not like Melvin Edgem where you wait it out and finally you're pretty much the guy leading your team in scoring.
Yeah.
This ain't the same ball game down there in Lawrence.
You know what? He could be, though. He's only a sophomore.
Yeah.
He could lead that team in scoring by his junior, senior year. He can't be that far off right now, is he?
No, I don't know. I don't have their stats in front of me.
Yeah.
But
Nadir Tharp, though, is interesting because if you go back and look at Kansas point guards, they do this year after year after year. They got these guys that really don't do much their first couple years, and then their junior, senior year is really when they start excelling. Tyshawn Taylor did it.
Mm-hmm.
Sharon Collins did it. I know I'm missing. Elijah Johnson, same thing.
Yeah.
Really, you didn't hear from him, and same thing. Oh, you just got to make Tyshawn Taylor beat. You got to make it, and all of a sudden, you know what?
And then
they started beating you.
And then they blow you up.
Yeah. So
and that's always Fred's strategy when playing Kansas, too. Just you literally don't guard one or two guys out there. Like Young last year, Young was perfect.
Yeah.
He couldn't make a shot. You knew Elijah Johnson could, but you also knew he could miss 70% of what he launched that night.
Yeah.
But, I think Tharp is the perfect guy right now. He knows the system. I think he drives Bill Self crazy half the time, but I think Bill really trusts him, too.
Yeah.
And all of that has come together, and that's why I'm so high on Kansas. I would not be surprised if we talked about this a lot last Thursday night. I don't think they're going to win out. I don't, because it's such a tough league and they're a young team and it's such a grind. But it wouldn't shock me because I think that they're better than everybody else. I think it's Kansas, and then I think it's a scramble. I think you got to put Oklahoma State, Iowa State, now Oklahoma, potentially Texas. Throw them all in a hat. pick one out of there. It's Kansas and everybody else. Oklahoma State does not deserve to be in that conversation anymore.
No, I completely agree. It is Kansas and everyone else. I don't agree with you on they're going to potentially win out.
I don't think they're going to win out, but it wouldn't shock me.
It would stun me. Just because of what you said, this is a really good league.
It is.
Shockingly.
Kansas
we didn't expect
is killing
it.
Everybody.
They're not going to kill us tomorrow, Chris.
I don't think so either. They're written that numerous times. I think this is a really scary game for Kansas.
What percentage do you put on Iowa State winning that game tomorrow night?
25-30%.
Yeah, we're right on the same line. Yeah. I really think it's possible. You got to hit some shots, and you obviously got to get some stops and get some rebounds. But
I don't see this team hitting 15 threes in Allen Fieldhouse like last year's
team. They don't need to, though. They need to hit 10.
You have to hit 10.
Yeah, you got to hit 10. And they can do it. They can hit 10. So it'll be interesting. I'm really looking forward to tomorrow night's game. I think it's one that we have the potential to win. And if we win, I don't think it puts us back in the Big 12 race, but it at least makes it interesting. It at least gives us.
Absolutely. Then you can really, like, as an Iowa State fan, you can intently watch Kansas and root against them saying,
yes,
that'll get us a game here, get us a game there. Here's my thing. I think Iowa State will either beat Oklahoma State or Kansas. I think they win one of those two games.
Yeah.
Somehow. I think they find a way.
History shows that Kansas is probably more likely.
It does, but I don't really buy into that now, though. I mean, I don't think that what happened 5 years ago has anything to do with this year's team. I don't buy into that.
Okay.
But, so I think this team's a little bit better, definitely better off on the road than Hoiberg teams of the past, but I also think this team is much more likely to get upset by an Oklahoma at home, by a Texas at home, you know, with one of those big guys. I don't think Hilton's as big of an advantage for this team as years of the past. This team just, you're not going to see it get really hot from downtown and just blow people out. You know, hence the Baylor game. We've seen what Baylor's like, especially on the road, kind of throw that one out. I just, when another team has a dominant big man that we've seen it really struggle. I mean, I could see Iowa State losing at home this year, but I don't think it comes against Oklahoma. I think they can handle that, and I think they beat either Kansas or Oklahoma State. I just have the feeling DeAndre Kane has to elevate his game big time for that to happen, but it's possible.
He's just got to get back to doing what he was doing before.
He's got a groin injury, apparently.
Oh, does he?
Hoiberg said that last night on his call-in show.
Huh. But that's interesting.
I mean, it's a tweak. It's not like he's going to be on the sideline.
He's not getting carried off the practice court.
Hope not. I hope not.
No, he just really needs to get back to doing what he was doing. As far as I think, when I looked at the stats, his assist to turnover ratio the first 14 games was close to 3-1, mm-hmm. and the last four games is 1-1.
Yeah,
he's turned over. He's passing a little less. He's shooting a little more. And I think what it is when you're struggling as a team and you're really fighting to get that win as a leader, and DeAndre Kane is a leader on this team, I think he thinks he needs to put more of it on his back, and he kind of gets out of the offensive system. I think he needs to trust what Hoiberg's doing with the offense and just keep moving that ball around. A lot of times right now we're seeing too many ISOs.
Be one of the guys instead of being the man.
Exactly.
All right, good chat. Let's go to Twitter now. Oh, well, before we do that, we're doing a thing now. We have a sponsor of the week every week at CycloneFanatic.com. It's just a little extra tip of the cap we're giving to our advertisers who keep the website free for each and every one of you. Phillips Floors down there in Ankeny, they got a showroom in Indianola as well. They've been a huge supporter of ours from day one, and we really want to thank them today. Now, Phillips Floors, if you can't make it to their showroom, again, in Indianola or Ankeny, they're going to be a part of that home and garden show, the Hy-Vee one.
Yes.
Out at the Hy-Vee Hall.
Yep.
Coming up on the 6th through the 9th of February. So stop on in and tell them thank you for supporting CycloneFanatic.com. I got to get new carpet coming up in the spring. My wife is killing me about this.
Yeah. Where are you
going
to go?
Oh, I'm going to them.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's just, man, you know, I'm looking forward to it because I think in the past my wife would say, hey, you know, you got to put the carpet in. I'm not putting the carpet in.
No,
I'm going to hire those guys.
Yeah, they do a great job. They put in my flooring.
They put in your wood flooring.
Yep,
right?
They put it in not quite a year ago. It looks great. So they did a good job.
Okay, Phillips Floors. Check them out at the Home and Garden Show. It's the Home and Garden Show, right?
Correct.
It's not the Lawn and Home Show. I get all these things mixed up.
I get it.
Whatever.
I think it's the first one you said.
The 6th through the 9th of February. Check them out. All right, moving on. Let's go to Twitter. I threw it out there for a few questions from the Cyclone Fanatics. We actually got a lot of them, So we'll try and cruise through all of these. Tyler wants to know any assistant coaching news speculations. No, you know, really, I don't. I think that that's kind of been put on the back burner with recruiting.
Yeah.
Which makes sense. Because they probably have an idea.
Yeah.
Would be my guess. They probably have an idea of where they're going with this, and then after signing day, bam, then a lot of news will occur.
How many job openings do we currently have on the staff? Two?
So you've got tight ends. You've got Curtis Bray's position.
Yeah.
And quarterback / offensive line or wherever they do
decide to do it. Whatever Mangino takes, they'll hire.
I would say that Mangino is going to do the tight ends.
Oh, you think so?
I think so.
Okay.
And then then you would have offensive line and quarterbacks.
Okay. For those positions, I mean, I think quarterback – is it? Do you go out and you try to find the best recruiter, or do you try to find the best coach?
For quarterback?
Yeah.
Coach.
Coach.
I think you already found the best recruiter you could find with your running backs coach.
Okay. What about offensive line? We've been so bad on the line that you want to say coach,
well,
but...
you'd like to find a guy who can do it all, Adam.
Well, that obviously would be nice.
Here's the deal. It's still a high-level BCS job. So, I would think that there could be some poaching done from, you know, Northern Illinois of the world, or, you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So that's the
thing. Well, we just saw it with Toledo. We just took Toledo.
Correct. Guy. So that's why I don't think that this is like a deal where fans should be, oh my God, he hasn't made any hires yet. I would worry about recruiting now, because those guys are going to be there.
Yeah.
You're not going to get one of Urban Meyer's assistants to come to Ames. I'm sorry. It's not going to happen. So my point being, you're going to be able to offer some really good coaches a raise to come to Iowa State.
Yeah.
So just stay tuned.
Okay.
That would be my answer to that, Tyler. Adele, adding Doc Sadler, increased toughness of basketball teams and 14-0 start. I don't know. I think Doc... I don't know. I really don't. I think it's their players too, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I would lean more towards players and the toughness, but I don't think there's any question that our defense has improved, and yeah. I would say a large part of that is because of Doc Sadler.
Yeah. And as far as the toughness goes, though, I mean, Dustin Hogue and DeAndre Kane were going to be here if Doc was or not.
Yeah.
I think that they kind of just bring. I mean, Melvin Edgem is one of the toughest players I've ever seen.
Yep.
At his size and what he's
and he was tough. And he was
to
tough
do.
Last year.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I give Doc a lot of credit. I think he's a great coach. I thought he was a great coach in Nebraska.
It was a fantastic hire by Hoiberg to get Doc Sadler here.
Oh.
Because obviously last year, I mean, if last year's team played defense, and this year's team isn't great defensively, but they are better than they were last year. If last year's team played defense like this year, you're talking another 6-7 wins last year. I honestly believe that. You look at the games they lost down the stretch when they couldn't get a stop. Kansas,
just such
Texas.
A difference between Corey Lucius and DeAndre Kane. They're just such different players.
But we don't have a Chris Babb this year.
Yeah, I know, but you didn't have Dustin Hogue either.
No, but I think a lot of it, Clyburn could have been a really good defender.
But he wasn't tough. He's a different, that's my point. Like, it's a different, the team is different. It's not similar guys.
So you're not giving any credit to Doc Sadler and our defensive
improvement? No, I'm not saying that.
Okay.
What I'm saying, though, is Will Clyburn is clearly more skilled than Dustin Hogue.
Yes.
But Dustin Hogue is a hell of a lot tougher than Will Clyburn was. Asked about toughness.
Toughness. I know. I'm not
You've
talking about toughness.
Your players.
I'm talking
toughness.
About defense, not toughness.
Yeah. I mean, I'm giving credit to Sadler.
Sure.
But I think that the personnel has played into that more probably than even coaching. I don't think they've like changed a ton of things schematically.
I just wonder sometimes on the scouting reports, and Doc probably has a, you know,
I would
Big
assume
hand
Doc
and,
has
and
a huge hand in the scouting because that was Otzelberger's main function on
staff. So I'm guessing Doc handles that. And, you know, like I said, our defense isn't great. It still has room to improve, but I think it's been noticeably better than it was last year. And, you know, we got guys, we're playing two freshmen. We're playing a junior college kid.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, those junior college, they don't play any defense.
No.
So I think there's something to be said for what Doc Sadler's doing on defense.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
Dan? I don't know this. When would you want a team to lose or face some adversity? I don't think I would want it to go into the dance undefeated.
I wouldn't mind it.
I would gladly Iowa State going to the dance undefeated.
Absolutely.
I don't ever sit there and go, man, be good for Iowa State to lose this game. Have you ever watched an Iowa State game and go, man, I hope they lose this. They need to lose this game.
Never.
Yeah.
Now you can take some positives from a loss and you can build on it. Yes. That I will agree
with.
But
I've never sat there and gone, man, good thing they lost those three
never,
games.
Never. And you know what? You go into the NCAA tournament undefeated, you're number one seed, and there's a reason you're undefeated. You're better than everybody else.
Yeah.
I would love to go into the NCAA tournament undefeated.
I would want to go into the dance undefeated.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. That puts you in some historic how many teams have gone into the dance undefeated and major that's been a major conference team?
Didn't the Kenyon Martin Cincinnati team do it?
No, because he broke his leg before
that. Okay, and they lost the game, Mike, because they dropped to a two seed.
Oh yeah, and Huggins was not happy.
Yeah, which I don't blame the seeding for doing that.
I mean, St. Joe's was undefeated, I think, with Jameer Nelson, weren't they?
Yep.
But they weren't.
UNLV back in the early 90s.
Indiana with Bobby Knight.
That's about all I can come up with.
I'm sure there's others. Let's put Bloom on this.
Yeah, where's Bloom? Jake says, if the other cornerback stays committed to Mississippi State, is JT Gray a Cyclone? I don't know, Jake. I can give you my analysis on it, but the best analysis I have is, at this point in recruiting, weird stuff happens, and weird things happen. Guys get moved around. There's gray shirts to consider, et cetera. I think that kid is probably 60-40 Mississippi State, Iowa State, but I think there's a legitimate shot. I think Iowa State will put on the full court press because they really like him. But I don't. But I think you're on the right track where it's more on Mississippi State at this point than it is Iowa State.
And you know what? If you want to find out a lot about recruits, come to our recruiting party. What is that? February 12th, or what's the date on
it's
that?
It's the 12th. We're the week after signing day this year.
Yeah.
Because our special guests, we had to accommodate their schedules, but 7:30 keg stand.
Yes, and our special guests are really good about talking about the incoming
players.
They'll
talk about whatever you want.
It's great.
Peter, is rebound margin the most meaningless stat in hoops, equivalent to time of possession in football? Yeah, probably. Could you think of another one more?
I don't want to say most meaningless. I mean... I don't know.
I think it's certain. Yeah, this is like a Kirk Holland type question.
Yeah,
we're not. Adam and I are not advanced statistics gurus like some of those guys are. But
it depends on your team, Chris.
The Kansas game I thought was pretty meaningless because Iowa State missed 48 shots or whatever.
The Oklahoma game wasn't meaningless.
No, the Oklahoma game absolutely wasn't meaningless because you look at their offensive rebounds and points. You know. Second chance points. It wasn't meaningless at all there.
It really just depends on your team. I mean, you look at football and time of possession. Baylor doesn't care about time of possession, but Kansas State, they have to win it.
Yeah.
If Kansas State's going to win the game, they got to take care. They got to have the ball more than the other team. So from game to game, it could be meaningless, just like you said, but it's not an stats can be skewed to look any way you want them, really.
I would agree with that.
I know Holland's not going to like that, and your boy Hines is going to drop a Ken Pom thing on me or something, but...
You don't like the advanced statistics at all.
No, actually, that's not true. I don't mind the advanced statistics. I just, there's certain eye tests. I mean, there's certain things you can just see.
I agree.
That I don't care what you say. We might not be a good defensive team, or we might shoot the three. Even though we might lead the country in three-pointing, I don't think we're a good three-point shooting team. Certain items. We're getting off topic again, but.
Justin, Justin Bloom's not here. He wanted a question about officiating.
No, give me that question. No, I want
Gray,
it.
I'm not going to let you go off in the
No,
official.
Give me the question.
No.
Dang it.
Speaking of Bloom.
Does he have a question for us?
Yeah. He goes, what is the difference between Scott Drew and Travis Ford? Trick question. They're the same. Well played. Justin, out of 2014 recruiting class, including JUCOs, who have the biggest impact on the football field next year? That's interesting. Alan Lazard will have an impact. I don't even know if he'll start, but he's going to play, in my opinion. There's really no ifs, ands, or buts about that. So you've got to go to the JUCO guys. And I'm going to lean towards guys making an impact who are already on campus and working out with the program. I don't think you can go wrong with Jordan Harris or Devron Moore, two JUCOs on the defensive side of the ball. Jordan Harris will start next year unless it's a monumental upset somewhere along the lines. So,
yeah.
I mean, he's going to jump right into what Jeremiah George was doing. I don't know if he can do it to that efficiency, but he will start. And I would be shocked if Devron Moore doesn't start as well. I mean, do you argue with that?
No, I would agree with both of those. I mean, safety, especially with the news of Charlie Rogers leaving the program and him looking like he might have been a safety candidate, there's a glaring hole there.
Yeah, and Colin Downing, the punter.
Colin Downing?
Yeah. He's going to punt next year.
Yeah.
That's an impact, though. I mean, that's a guy who's going to see the field probably as much as anybody.
I would agree. Yeah, so, how good is he going to be at fake punts, though? That's all I care about. Is he going to be...
I wrote a column about that.
Did you?
Yeah, I just straight asked him. I go, can you do fake punts? Can you run?
What did he say?
He was a little... I don't think he wanted to, like... I don't think he appreciated me, like, just creating the story on midair. I legitimately think the kid was annoyed with me because I kept asking, so did Rhodes talk to you about fake punts? I was trying to get him to say, like, yeah, that's how they were. But no, he didn't really want to play into the story.
I don't want our punters working on punting. I want that 20-yard fade pass down.
Yeah. Vanderkamp. Okay. Mad City Sigh.
I like Mad City Sigh.
He's a good tweeter.
He is.
Best backcourt, the Big 12 and the Big 10. I'm not going to answer the Big 10 one because, frankly, I don't watch enough Big 10 basketball to give you an intelligent answer. Who do you think is the best backcourt in the Big 12? You have to go Oklahoma State, don't you?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you had the best – I'm sorry, Marcus Smart's better than DeAndre Kane.
Yes.
You have the best
yes.
point guard potentially in college basketball. And Forte
– is stroking it
right
now.
Dude, he went 6-for-6 last night.
Yeah, he's stroking it.
I don't know how – I mean, and then, who else would be in the conversation?
I wouldn't give it to Kansas.
No.
I wouldn't give it to Iowa State.
No.
Because the two guards been too iffy.
It's not consistent.
Yeah.
If they were constantly good.
Hitting 3-4 threes a game, then you could probably put Iowa State up there because of what Kane's done. Oklahoma?
They're all right. They're probably number two. Maybe.
Not Texas. Baylor? No.
Not Baylor.
It's got to be Oklahoma
not
State.
West Virginia. It's Oklahoma State.
Big Ten, to me, has got to be Michigan State. You got Appling, you got Harris.
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't watch Big Ten?
Not much. For real, I just don't have time for it.
Well, you know, it's always good to put on late at night when you want to, you know, doze off a little bit.
I try and watch every Big 12 game.
Yeah.
Now, I can't watch them in their entirety, but I try and take in a good chunk of every single Big 12 basketball game. They're irrelevant. I'm not staying up to watch TCU Texas Tech.
No.
But, so by the time I do that, I like to keep tabs on Georgetown and Creighton because now they're on Fox Sports 1, so.
They played each other the other day, didn't they?
Yeah.
Who'd you cheer for?
Creighton killed them.
Yeah.
I was indifferent.
Were you?
Yeah. I like to cheer for Mac, but Georgetown's my second team. Yeah. So I was indifferent.
Okay.
I don't really. When I watch those teams, too, it's not like I'm on the edge of my seat.
Yeah. But if they do, you're kind of a bandwagon.
Yeah.
When they're
yeah,
doing
like, whatever.
Game. Yeah.
When Creighton hit, like, 43s the other night, I enjoyed that.
Yeah, that was cool.
Really enjoyed watching. I love Doug. I've seen a lot of people that are like, oh, McDermott. You know how some Iowa State fans are.
Your voice there is actually pretty good. Yeah. How I envision it.
So, but I got to know Doug when he was, like, a kid. Before he was even playing junior high ball.
Yeah.
And I've kind of watched him grow up, and he's a great kid.
Yep.
The McDermotts are a great family, and so I cheer for him.
Will he have a better or worse NBA career than Kyle Korver, who's had a really nice career so far?
Ooh, that's a really good question. Define better or, like, are you talking, like, rings? Are you talking points average?
Because he's not going to be a star, so rings to me are irrelevant. He's either going to be on a good team or not. I'm talking production. You know,
where do you think that Doug will get drafted?
I would say
15th.
I would say anywhere from 12 to 18.
So we're in the same spot.
Yeah.
So he's going to go to a playoff team probably, or close to.
And he's going to be instant. He'll be able to help out a team.
Yeah, I think probably better.
Here's the only.
I don't know.
It's such a tough.
Korver's a better pure shooter than Doug is, and in the NBA, I don't know. Now that I think about it, I think you may have to go with Korver just from the standpoint, because that's the thing about the NBA, and Bloom always says this, and. A lot of the NBA guys say this, if you're really good at one thing, Doug's good at everything.
Yeah, he is.
He's not great at anything.
And he can stroke a three just like Korver, but I don't know if he's got that quick release that Korver's got.
You know, Adam, he's never had the role where, like Korver did, where they say, hey, just shoot the hell out of it. How do we know he's not going to develop that?
It's going to be fun watching.
Look at Fred Hoiberg from where he came as a freshman in college, too, when he was in the NBA, as far as shooting goes.
Yeah, 26% three-point shooter.
Yeah.
So when people are killing Matty Thomas right now, just remember, Fred Hoiberg, who spent how many years in the NBA, 9-10, 26% to start his career.
He probably, how old is Fred now?
40.
Yeah, Fred, I guess my point is he probably wouldn't still be playing, but he would have played a hell of a lot longer had he not had the heart condition.
Absolutely.
See, a lot of the young fanatics don't know that type of stuff.
No.
They just,
a lot of people don't realize how athletic Fred Hoiberg was, too.
Yeah, I mean, he dunked.
He could dunk. He could jump. He's a good player.
Hey, we're done with Twitter. Thank you for participating in the podcast today. Very much appreciated. Have you ever been to this Bacon Fest?
You know what? I haven't, and I'm told that I'm missing out. I'm told
so
this
apparently
is
you just pack on like 10,000 calories of bacon and beer in one day.
It sounds like my dream. That sounds phenomenal.
It sounds dangerous. Borderline dangerous.
Well, yeah, maybe a little dangerous, but worth it.
Nonetheless.
You want to do it?
Meeting last Friday with our friends at the Iowa Clinic Men's Center.
Yeah.
Another longtime advertiser with us. This is kind of cool. So, and I'm actually going to do this. Now, I won't be eligible for the competition here. But I haven't had a physical in like 10 years.
What?
Yeah, really.
10 years.
I swear, I've not been to the doctor in like 10 years. Now, I went to an allergy doctor at the Iowa Clinic.
And, yeah.
Some of that stuff. But I have not had like a physical in 10 years.
And your wife is not just nagging you daily?
Well, she's a little annoyed.
I went 2 years and Julie was in my ear nonstop.
Yeah, well, apparently my wife doesn't love me like yours.
You must have a pretty big life insurance policy. She's just hoping you just kick it.
Anyway, so I'm going to go to the Iowa Clinic Men's Center and get a physical here coming up. And so if you do this between now and January 30th, if you call 515-875-9801, the Iowa Clinic Men's Center, you are registered for free tickets to Bacon Fest, which I believe is sold out.
It is sold out.
It sells out in like 10 seconds.
It sells out faster than concerts do here.
Yeah. So
that's incredible, by the way,
that they're giving away free tickets.
That they're giving away. Yeah, they have these. And I mean, that is, yeah.
Be a man, go to the doctor, is their slogan. And I need to man up and be a man.
I've told you that since the day I met you. 515 for many different reasons.
875-9801. The Blue Ribbon Bacon Festival. You can win a ticket. All you got to do is go and get your physical at the Iowa Clinic. Good people too. Really good people at the Iowa Clinic. Love working with them. All right. We got the Twitters done. We got pretty much everything on my list done that I needed to talk about today.
Yeah. Can I get a final prediction for tomorrow?
Yeah, no, that's where I was going to go with this.
All right.
What do you foresee happening down in Lawrence?
I'm drinking the Kool-Aid.
No, shocker.
Yeah, I know.
Voice of the fan.
Yeah. We're going to win, Chris.
All right.
We're going to go down there.
I think there's a shot.
We're going to get off the snide with, I mean, we've been so close to beating Kansas for a long time now since we beat them. What was it? 3 years ago? It was Hoiberg's second year. We beat him at home.
Yep.
I got a good feeling. I know that everyone was jumping on Kansas bandwagon after they came into Hilton and won, and everyone was in love with Embiid, and he did a lot of good things, and there's a reason for it. But I still think a lot of what happened was Iowa State's inability to make shots. If they keep up the defensive intensity that they did when they played Kansas at home, I think we make 10 to 11 threes, and I think we walk away with an 80 to 77 win.
All right. I'm going to pick Kansas to win the game, but I just because I already told you, I think it's 25-30%.
Yeah.
So I would be an idiot if I went with the 25% as opposed to 75.
No, yeah, you are. Yeah.
So, no, but I think that's what I wrote yesterday. There's so many weird things that happened at that game in Hilton Coliseum.
Yeah.
From the turnover margin, which was, that's just bizarre to see that turnover margin and the home team loses.
Yep.
I don't really factor in rebounding that much from that game just because of as poorly as Iowa State shot. Iowa State will not shoot that poorly tomorrow night. They won't.
They can't.
They won't.
Yeah.
And you got to factor in, too, like Nadir Tharp going 7-for-8 from the field.
And I think Wiggins started on fire, too, didn't he?
Well, yeah, so let's just say that Tharp goes 5-for-10. You know, that's a couple extra possessions that you didn't have the last time. You got to add a lot of that together. And if I'm a Kansas fan, and I've talked to some Kansas fans who are friends of mine, they're really nervous about this one, and rightfully so.
Yeah.
Having said that, I think a lot of the reason why Iowa State struggled from the field so much was because of that Kansas length. Embiid, they were scared. Iowa State wasn't just missing threes, man. They were missing layups. They were hesitant.
And you know they're gonna miss layups again tomorrow because Embiid does that to you, and they have other big guys too that can kind of get
so
in there.
So now it's like George Niang, instead of going 0-for-9 from three, he better go 5-for-9.
Yeah,
you know that type of a thing. That's how it's gonna. That's how Iowa State will win the game.
I think you need Naz and Matt to hit a combined 4 threes for you.
That's solid analysis.
And I don't think that's too much to ask. 2 apiece.
No, I don't either.
I think they need to do it. Monte Morris needs to come in and hit a 3 or 2. He's been phenomenal. He really just needs to keep playing the way he's playing.
There's a point too where you got to have him on the floor.
Yeah, I actually love it when he has the ball and we move Kane to the 2 spot. The offense moves a lot better. Because when he drives, I think he drives in as hard as Kane. He's still looking to pass. Right now, Kane's kind of doing that little floater. Tunnel vision.
Yeah, and it's like, I've said this before, it's like he's not even trying to score. He's just trying to go to the free throw line.
Yeah.
Which is okay, but you better make your free throws. And he went like 8 for 16 against Kansas the last time
from
the charity stripe. So we'll see. I agree with you that I think Iowa State plays well, but I hope they win, obviously. I've already given my analysis. It'd be kind of dumb to go against it.
Well, and let's be honest, I'm drinking some serious Kool-Aid because I believe Bill Self has won more Big 12 titles than home Big 12 losses since he's been there.
Yeah.
So
the fact
I'm predicting Iowa State's probably not a smart pick on my isn't a smart pick.
Boy,
but I got
like
a good feeling.
Think that this is a. You know, I know Kansas has grown up, but they're still a young team. Maybe a little bit of overconfidence because they just went into Hilton and beat this team.
Yeah.
You know? It'll be nuts, though. I mean, it's weird, but the Kansas-Iowa State, I don't know if I call it a rivalry yet, but the series is really kind of just based off of recent events. You know, the whole the charge, no charge thing. I mean, it's a fun series.
Yeah, it is.
Even the Kansas guys say that. It's a really fun series. And I think Hoiberg and Self, it's a little bit of a duel there, too. Two of the best coaches in the game right now. It's fun.
Here's a question for you. And you probably won't know the answer, so we'll have to look this up later. But when was the last time Iowa State lost to a team at home in the Big 12 but then ended up beating them on the road? That'll be interesting to go back and see when that's
probably
actually happened. Kansas State.
Wayne Morgan year.
I just remember, didn't we beat Kansas State at Kansas State? McDermott's last year at Deontay Garrett.
Yeah.
That's got to be it.
That was the last game of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody thought, man, maybe the Clones found something. Make a run down Kansas City, get to the tournament, and they lost to Texas.
Colorado, wasn't it?
We
had the lead. We were beating them. No, that was
Fred's first year.
You're right.
That was Fred's first year. I think it was Texas.
Yep, I think you're right.
Cool. He's Adam Gray, voice of the fan. Also sells advertising for us. Traffic numbers, man. They're just insane.
Unbelievable. We're looking at, 6 million page views this month?
Really?
Yeah.
Woo.
It's big. Big month.
What's your contact info? Well, just click on the advertising thing on our website. That'd be
shoot us an email. You give me a call on my cell phone. I'll throw my cell phone number out there right now.
Are you sure you want to do this?
No, but I'm going to do it anyway.
I don't know if I would do this.
I shouldn't do it?
I wouldn't do this because, you know, there could be some hawk trolls.
Yeah, they already troll me on Twitter.
Because they're obsessed with Iowa State.
They
are probably listening.
Oh, little brother.
I would not.
Little brother's always listening.
I would not give your personal cell phone out.
Okay.
Just a word of advice.
Yeah, I mean, it's all over, but yeah, okay. I won't do it then.
All right.
I won't do it.
Peace, everybody. Thanks for listening to the Mr. B Clothing Podcast. Go give them a stop by 1995 Northwest 86th Street in Clive. Tell them that Chris Williams and Cyclone Fanatic sent you. So long.
Go Cyclones.